Our Heavenly Father, who hast awakened in our minds the theological question, be with us in the search for an understanding of thy will. We remember in thy presence those who struggle day and night for insight, for release from pain, for a clear sense of direction. Mercifully give us and all thy servants wisdom for sound decisions, courage and energy for faithful work, and unfaltering trust in thy goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In these moments of contemplation and adoration, I should like to draw attention once more to a verse in the 51st Psalm. We noticed a few weeks ago that there are at least 680 references to the heart in the Bible. In biblical thought, the heart determines the quality and power of a person's life. It is the source of all personal energies and reflects the feelings of the whole person. It may be glad or sad, courageous or fearful, hardened or tender, proud or humble, rebellious or obedient, upright or deceitful and wicked. It is at the center of what we call personality, where God enters a person's life or is shut out. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The 51st Psalm is as up to date as today's newspaper, and I venture to say vastly more important, or the latest news broadcast. It presents an accurate description of sin, the problem of broken relationships, the gift of forgiveness, and a new way of life characterized by a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We are appropriately concerned about the problem of pollution, the pollution of water, the pollution of air, the pollution of the great metropolitan areas of this nation and of the world. It is important for us to be concerned also about the pollution of the interior of man's life. If you and I are to live creatively, if we are to be truly sensitive to the needs of people, we shall be drawing heavily upon our interior resources. And we shall recognize the need for a clean heart and for a right spirit. In this psalm, the author uses the term spirit four times. And I think an examination of these phrases and verses will enlarge and deepen our insight into the meaning of a right spirit. A right spirit is a firm, steadfast, stable spirit. A right spirit is a pure or purified spirit. A right spirit is a willing or voluntary spirit. A right spirit is a broken or humble spirit. A person who acknowledges his sin and turns in repentance to God for help, discovers that his interior life is transformed. God's Holy Spirit creates in him a right spirit. And he becomes a confident, purified, free, and humble person. A person who has a transformed heart, a right spirit, is not dominated by what used to be called the cunning spirit of this world. He is not motivated by an arrogant, self-righteous, proud spirit. He has confidence, but he knows the source of his confidence. He has a purified spirit, but he is grateful for the one who has cleansed his spirit. He has a willing spirit, a voluntary spirit, so that he is no longer a slave driven to his work. He knows the anguish of crushed bones, a crushed purpose, a crushed spirit. And he is humble. He learns to cope with the forces which crushed him. And this is an hour for social diagnosis. It is important for the servant of God to be aware of the forces in a community which crushes the spirit of man. A person who has a transformed heart and draws upon his interior resources is able to grapple and cope with the forces that crush the spirit of man. This means that he has a strong sense of responsibility for the well-being of others. I lived in a city for a number of years where several school children had been killed by trains in a suburban area. At that entrance to the city, the trains came in at a rapid rate of speed. And under the pressure of public opinion, an executive in that railroad made the mistake of saying publicly, "What is the death of one child when the transportation system of this nation is at work?" Well, the death of one child in a transportation system is a tragedy. And before that statement quoted in the newspaper was forgotten, there were some safeguards for little children on their way to and from school in that part of the city. I think you and I would agree that the most perilous forces that crush the life out of people is not the railroad system. There are other forces, visible and invisible, which are far more perilous. To the lives of our people. And you and I are under obligation to identify these forces. And with a free and right spirit to take a stand against them come what may. But we take this stand not as arrogant people, aware of their own power, but as humble people who themselves have found release and deliverance and strength in a relation with God. And this sense of responsibility for the well-being of others is nurtured by the warm esteem for persons, which we find in the message of the Bible. As we read the prophets through the eyes of Jesus, and then read the law through the eyes of both the prophets and of Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let us pray. The words we use in prayer at this moment are the words of this psalm. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create for me a pure heart, Lord, and renew a firm spirit within me. Do not cast me from thy presence, nor take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy help, and may a voluntary spirit uphold me, that I may teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners may return to thee through Jesus Christ our Lord.